Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Welcome to the Online Frogcast. I'm Carice Hendrick.
And I'm Brett Johnson.
And we're both anti-fraud experts.
But with very different sets of experiences.
I've been in the anti-fraud space for well over a decade, working with hundreds of the biggest online companies in the world to help them prevent payment fraud.
And prior to several years ago, I was a cyber criminal. I committed several different types of crimes online, ended up on the United States Most Wanted list, went to prison. And since that point, I've turned my life around and focus now on protecting people against the type of person that I used to be. We need to get this out to talk about the types of frauds and scams that coronavirus is, that's circulating around coronavirus. Now, of course, we're going to talk about more than just the frauds and scams. You know, I can't go a show these days without commenting on toilet paper. I can't.
Oh, I know. It was about 20 minutes worth of toilet paper talk last
episode. That's right. That's
last
right.
Attempt. So maybe we can keep it to just.
Yeah, I went to Sam's Club today and I bought two cases. So I'm good to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm good to go. You know, I'll tell you what bugs me. And I guess, you know, I guess that this is that time that I need to come out with that disclaimer again. The thoughts and opinions of one Brett S. Johnson are those solely of Brett S. Johnson and no other host, co-host, or guest of the Online Fraudcast.
Oh, boy. I mean, while I appreciate that, it makes me very nervous because for anyone who knows, we don't rehearse this. So
no, we don't.
I don't know what's coming.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you my issue. All right, my issue is that it looks like we stand a really good chance of doing what Italy did and things just exploding with coronavirus. Stand a very good chance of that. And I try not to say anything bad about our leaders in Washington. But
Washington, D.C., not the state.
Right, right. I have nothing against the great state of Washington. I love Seattle. I love Mount Rainier. It's fantastic. Washington, D.C., though, oh boy, oh boy. And I'll tell you my issue with that, Carice, and maybe I'm just singular in this. My issue with that is that, you know, I can understand that our president maybe didn't want to be completely honest because of fear of wrecking the economy. Well, that ship has sailed. You know, we're down 30%, and now the words depression are being bandied about in Reuters and everything else. So a recession is a lock. Depression is a maybe. We'll see what the hell's going on from there. But what gets me so bad is that only recently have we got to the point where President Trump and that side of the fence has started to be truthful and really talk about the seriousness of this, that this thing could extend into July, August, potentially longer. If you've read the leaked memo coming out of the UK, they're anticipating it lasting into 2021. So only now have they got to the point where they're talking about that. Only now has Fox News got to the point of saying, well, okay, it's not a Democrat conspiracy anymore. It looks like this shit's serious. So I've got problems with that. I've got problems with some of the Democrats out there that are using this as a basis to hammer the Republicans. I think that this goes way past any type of political argument, that we are all in the same boat together, and that these idiots out there that are talking, lying, spreading fake news, fear, uncertainty, and doubt simply for political gain, I don't know of anything much worse than that on this planet.
Well, I mean, I really try hard to steer away from politics, knowing that, you know, our listeners are mostly tuning in to learn about fraud. But I will say that I agree with you on all points, especially around honesty. I think that that's something that, you know, when you're on the side of the fence of against cybercrime or any kind of crime, you should also inherently be against dishonesty. I get frustrated when vendors or other people within our industries, you know, say things that aren't true. So I totally get that and agree with that. I think that the one thing I would say more than anything is, you know, I've started to hear people say this is our generation's World War II. And what they mean by that is this is our generation to, or this is our chance to do something to help others. You know, if I can stay home to help save someone else's life, someone else's grandparents' life or whoever, I absolutely will. Additionally, looking for ways that we can help our neighbors and our metaphorical neighbors as well, whether that's sending a fun text to a friend or, you know, sending a care package or whatever it is. I've thought of about 30 different ways that every day I'm going to do at least one of them because that helps my mindset. And I think that what I'm most concerned about is social distancing is depressing. And also it, you know, we're so much better together and there's so many things, so many people that are in less fortunate circumstances than I am. And if and how I can help them, I will. And I have in my own ways, whether that's donating to charities or people that I know, or just surprising someone with a little bit of cash in their mailbox. I just think that I would want to encourage people to focus about what can you do for other people just to either cheer them up or help them a little bit. I think that that's, you know, that's our, it's our chance to look outside of ourselves and not just see how it's impacting us, but how it's impacting other people as well. And I think that that goes beyond, obviously beyond, you know, stopping fraud, but there is a component of that too. I mean, I've been feeling like there's more of a need for the good guys to come together now than ever before. And so I'm doing little things like, tomorrow I'm hosting, and this will obviously be a week ago when you guys listen to it, but I'm hosting a call with over 30 retailers, some of the biggest ones in the country, to talk about some issues that are impacting all of them. And I'll be doing a solo podcast on that soon. And so, you know, doing that, I'm hoping to put together some virtual webinars of sorts of merchants providing information and educating each other. And I'll also be doing more opportunities for merchants to collaborate with each other. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to exclude the vendors, but unfortunately, you know, as they say, one bad apple spoils the bunch. And we just know, I know from experience that having merchant only calls allows them to be so much more open, knowing that nobody's taking notes saying, okay, I'm going to get back to them because now I know their problem and I'm going to tell them. So, but I have told every vendor that has asked me that, I will be writing an article and doing a podcast episode about what's talked about. It just won't be assigned to any specific company. So I think I would just, you know, I share a lot of the same frustrations that you do, but I think that my message to everyone would just be try to focus on the good, try to focus on what you can do. I was doing this before, but I'm definitely doing it now. I spend about 15 minutes every morning before I get out of bed writing down everything I'm grateful for. And I have to tell you, as cheesy as it sounds and as long as I resisted it, you know, because I think I got the idea from Oprah like everyone else did, but I have a few friends that's helped as well. It really has helped my depression, my outlook, everything. So if you're struggling with that, if you're working from home and have kids running around and just really struggling with the impact, I don't know. I know this isn't a personal development podcast, but nor is it political, you know, but I would say it really, really helps a lot more than you would
think. And I'm going to tell you, you said, and I've read those same comments about this thing being our generation's test, our generation's World War II. Well, you know, here's the thing. It's not World War II, all right? But it is a chance for people to do the right thing. And we are not given those chances often. But this is a chance for people to do the right thing. And what I see is a lot of people that, because we're in that society where we only care about ourselves, not each other, what I see is a lot of people going down to Florida for spring break. What I see is a lot of people hoarding toilet paper. What I see is a lot of people not practicing social distancing, but instead going out to bars and restaurants on St. Patrick's Day. That's what I see.
Yeah.
And, well, and but I,
see,
would
I
urge,
choose to see the people who are, you know, cleaning out their cupboards and donating it to the food bank. I went through my daughter's stuff and found 10 things that she doesn't play with anymore that other kids could find joy from to use Marie Kondo's. I'm sure. Marie Kondoing my house. I'm just saying it would make the, oh my gosh, I don't have time, but you know, things that would be fun for kids to do, activities while they're home, because there's no school in the state of Washington until at least the end of April. And I put them on our local Buy Nothing group. I know this statement comes from a very grateful place of privilege, but still a place of privilege, that I gave our housekeeper a little bit of extra money today because she has 5 kids that are home and they don't have a lot of resources. Like, those are the things I choose to see. I've also seen moms in local Facebook groups put together Google spreadsheets of all the people in our neighborhood, our pretty big neighborhood, who work in healthcare and need childcare. And then another set of all the people who are willing to take in an extra kid or two so that their parents can go help save lives at the hospital. I mean, that's what I'm choosing to see. I see those same other things, but I'm choosing to focus more on the good because it really impacts my mindset. And I do struggle with anxiety and depression, and I have to be extremely just intentional about the things that I choose to, you know, focus on. We can see both sides. And I guess, you know, I think too, like, because I am working with several companies to prevent payment fraud or other types of fraud, I see the bad every day, like in my work. I don't want to see the bad every day when I turn on the news. And really, that's the only choice we have right now. So I think, you know, just, I think that choosing what we focus on and then also choosing which side we want to be on in this is really important. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's extremely frustrating that people aren't taking this seriously. It is unfortunate that, a very prominent politician in the U.S. was saying for so long that it was a hoax or that it wasn't happening because he didn't want
it
to be
true. It's okay. You can say it was
true.
None
of us want it to be true.
And yes, here's the thing. You know, I want people to know I'm not a Trump hater, but it was Trump that was saying that. And it was Fox News that was following along and toting that line.
Right. No, and I mean, obviously, you know that. I just try to be a little bit more diplomatic, knowing that, you know, I've made the mistake of being political with some of some merchants before and realized, oh gosh, like, sorry, I just assumed. So I try to be pretty careful now, but I don't like when people are saying like that this is a political thing because it shouldn't be, but it was turned into that. And so, but I mean, you know, we can blame or we can make excuses or we can just focus on what little we can do. Because I'm not Pollyanna, not even a little bit, but if all of us do choose to do things to help others, I do think that it will at least help the experience, let alone just the mindset. And, you know, it'll have less damage and less impact. So
I agree. And all of that, I agree. It should not be political.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For at least 8 weeks, we are going to, our entertainment is going to take place at the house. Kick up your Disney Plus, your Hulu, your Netflix, your Xbox Live.
you might want to expect, yeah. I mean, I do think there is going to be a very large baby boom, but I don't think that's what you're talking about. How I took it. I was like, wow.
That's some entertainment too. All right. So.
Not that kind of podcast. But you know,
it's one of these things where we need this whole idea of social distancing, and I don't really really like that term. I think it's a nifty little term that I just heard for the first time 4 days ago.
Really? Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah, you're not in the state of Washington. I'm like,
yeah, I'm not that politically correct. Well, basically, I call social distancing stay the hell away from me is what I call it.
Well, and as my husband says,
non-politically correct term.
Yeah, as my introverted husband says, he's been practicing for social distancing his whole life.
Yeah. But, you know, it's what we have to consider are you take these youngsters and young adults that are going to spring break and partying their asses off. If they get it, sure, they the chances of them surviving coronavirus extremely good. But when they take it home to their parents and then their parents take it to their grandparents, mm-hmm. at that point, the chances of those grandparents surviving is not very good mm-hmm. because it loves to hit senior citizens.
Right.
And that's the whole concept. You know, Max Brooks and Mel Brooks put out a video yesterday that talked about this social distancing. And everyone should look that up on YouTube. It's outstanding. It really hits home about the importance of social distancing. Because while you may be young and it not affect you that bad, it does affect the elders in your circle. And that's what you have to watch out for. And right. I would urge people to please go out there and be aware of your environment. Be aware of the consequences of your decisions by saying, oh, I'm not going to let this thing beat me. Well, you don't have to let it beat you, but just be smart.
Right. And I think that, you know, to that point, I'm sure, you know, everyone listening has heard a lot of this before, if not, you know, 100 times. So I think, you know, switching gears a little bit, but not too much. You mentioned it just a few minutes ago. This was something that wasn't planned, right? So companies haven't been able to, you know, beef up their infrastructure, or nobody's been able to stock up on things. It's just kind of, it's a good test for everyone, companies, consumers, et cetera. What I'm noticing in the merchant world is that those merchants with physical goods, you know, it depends on what those goods are, but their sales are starting to slow down. But the merchants and the online companies with digital goods, streaming, online games, food delivery, all those things that we all are accustomed to, all those creature comforts that you know, help us help life be a little bit more enjoyable. They're getting hit really hard with just tons of legitimate traffic. In addition to people nefarious intent, right? So, and that could look like one of two things. It could look like cyber criminals saying, hey, I'm going to profit off this too. I'm going to stock up on referral credits. Cyber criminals are also looking to take advantage of this as well, whether to make money or just cause chaos, but probably also definitely to make money, because this has probably impacted their lifeline as well. So they're looking at stacking up referral credits at food delivery sites. And they've done this anyways, but like it's definitely happening a lot more. And then reselling those credits as like, you know, $100 to a online delivery service. Or looking like trying to be the middleman in an online food delivery service where, hey, order from me and it's half the price. Or they're doing getting tons of new accounts for streaming services and trying to resell them. Doing online gaming currency and reselling that. So that's also impacting merchants a lot. And my heart goes out to the people in online gaming and in food delivery and streaming and all the other services I'm sure that I'm forgetting, email, video conferencing, all of the things that we're all, you know, using to do our jobs and keep in contact with people. I know you guys are just getting killed. And so, you know, definitely we're, you know, thinking of you. I know that Xbox Live has gone down twice in the last week just because of how much traffic there is. That has nothing to do with fraud. I just want to make sure everyone knows that. It wasn't a DDoS. It wasn't anything. It was just purely traffic. Other similar, you know, sites are really experiencing a lot of slowdowns or traffic as well. I know that some of the deliveries that I've had from retailers have been delayed a day or two, just because there was such an influx of online ordering at the beginning of everything. There's lots of different ways that companies are being impacted, and also consumers. So I want you to add anything on the company side, and I can add a few as well, and then we can talk about consumers next.
Sure. So, you know, company-wise, it really depends on, actually, it doesn't depend. Every company right now is affected by coronavirus and the shutdown. Either you're affected your stock prices or your business itself. Amazon just announced that they're stopping all non-essential deliveries so they can concentrate on the essential stuff that people are ordering. So everything across
the board. Wait a second. I didn't hear that. Shoot. Yep. Man, I was going to put in an order today. What did they consider essential?
Well, I think that the essential stuff would be hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, Germex, laundry detergent, and toilet paper. The things they don't have. Right.
I'm like, wait a second. I mean, essential is very subjective. So that's why I was like,
It is.
Is my chocolate essential? Because it is.
What's essential? Chocolate. So yeah, so they've announced that. So you got to love that. Business wise, I think you're hitting on a lot of points. It's not only the suspect fraud that's out there. So you know, we're going to have an increase in online orders, of fraudulent online orders, and it's going to be mixed in with all these other people that are ordering online too, because now. You know, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm sure that's already happened in Seattle where you are, but the stores are closed.
They're closed.
Okay. So here.
Well, know, actually, I should rephrase that. As of recently, I think it was maybe yesterday. So restaurants are, and this may change by the time this goes out, but right now in Washington, it's restaurants and bars are closed except for delivery and drive-through or takeout. So like I went into Starbucks yesterday and there were no chairs. You couldn't get your own straw, your own lid, your own cream, anything like that. You had to, you know, ask them to do it, which is very smart. We were able to mobile order and pay. My husband works for them, so we use his discount and he orders it and I pick it up. It's a great win-win relationship there. So that's on restaurants. So we're able to do takeout and delivery for now. Also, as of recently, all retail stores have been closed, unless they serve food or have a pharmacy, I believe. But I do think other stores, like they're considered essential, or like I was reading somewhere that Home Depot is considered essential because, you know, of home repairs, like what if your plumbing goes out or something like that? I don't know. So I haven't even been able to keep up on the news. And this kind of goes back to me selecting and being intentional. I'm choosing to only check the news twice a day. Otherwise, it'll suck me in and never be able to do any work. And I'm very lucky to have a full client load and I want to keep it that way. So especially right now, being self-employed. So, so I don't totally know, but I know that, so our retail stores are closed, but we do have our grocery stores are open, pharmacies.
Okay. So Amazon's the headline is Amazon tells suppliers it won't accept new shipments of non-essential items until April 5th. It goes on to say that Amazon will still deliver products purchased by consumers for any category that is in stock. It has asked sellers and retailers not to ship more non-essential items to its warehouses until at least April 5. So they're concentrating on food deliveries and medical supplies, halting delivery of other consumer.
But that basically tells me that they're just halting receiving it, not sending it, but they're just not going to be restocking. So that means I do have to place my order today is what you're saying.
You better get it in.
But I mean, I'm lucky enough to have same day delivery in Seattle when there's not a pandemic. But it's now turned into like 2-3 day, but I just keep saying it's first.
You know, just don't meet the delivery driver outside. Let them drop it outside. Then you go out there and get it.
Yes, that as well. Well, I mean, my dog alerts us whenever the delivery driver is here anyways, but yes, it's definitely keeping our distance. Yeah.
This whole idea, you know, we've got this one specific broadcast we're doing now to talk about fraud with coronavirus is simply not big enough because, you know, we're talking right now about merchants, but the government is about to give people money, just free will money.
So we're talking about U.S. specific, by the way, because we have a lot of international listeners. So I want to make sure that, you know, we're at least.
Well, they're going to give them money over there, too, without a doubt.
Well, right. And they also have free health insurance. So that's awesome. As of today, actually, that we're recording it, as of about an hour ago, the Treasury Secretary was out saying that they're looking at just sending every U.S. citizen, not a blank check, but a check for, I think, $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000.
Right.
Now, I read that. So there, I've got four people in the house here. That's $4,000. Groovy. Of course, if I were the same person I used to be, you know, a decade ago, I would have 25 people in the house, and I would have 12 houses, and I would bank my retirement money right there. Because when you start receiving these checks, the government starts handing out checks in the time of fear and emergency. They're not really good about keeping track of how many checks are being sent out or to whom. So a criminal can claim those checks pretty easily at that point. And I expect we'll see that. You know, we've got
So actually I have a question for you. So when the stimulus came out in like 2004 or whatever, I think there was like, I think during the George Bush administration, it was 4 or 5.
Right.
I think like it was like a $500 or something like that. Were you committing crime then, or were you in prison?
If this was 4 or 5, I was committing crime, but I wasn't worried about those low dollars. I was stealing $160K a week on tax fraud.
Right. I was just wondering like how that worked, because I guess I'm assuming that the government has a database or something like that. And they're just sending out to everyone. Is this more like proactively you'd have to go in and like request it? Because I guess we don't know enough details.
I would imagine it'll be both. So I would imagine it may be something along the lines of Katrina as well. When I was, when Katrina hit, I was working for the United States Secret Service.
Right.
We received a memo in the offices saying, hey, we need you guys to be on the lookout immediately for any fraud surrounding Katrina. Because what you had is you had people coming out of the woodwork claiming to be in New Orleans or Mississippi that was trying to get those. They were giving away a $3,000 debit card. The only thing you had to do was get in line with an ID, and they would give you a debit card that had $3K on it. Wow. So there were a lot of fake IDs floating around at that point being pilfered through New Orleans and Mississippi. So what I reckon, because we are in a state of emergency, the government needs this money to get out, because we are going to see we're going to see financial ruin across a lot of Americans' lives.
We already are, and I'm afraid $1,000 isn't going to be enough. But again, like, I want to make sure that, you know, we are talking about, you know, fraud that can be stopped. Sure. I guess, you know, I mean, there's not much that we can do.
All of it can't be stopped, right? I mean, we're not going to stop all CNP fraud. We're not going to stop all government fraud or anything else.
No. But I mean, yeah, but right. I'm sorry
to be like gloom and doom Brett today, but I mean, that's a fact.
Well, your voice is low and it's gloom and doom too, so that's helpful. No, I just want to make sure that we're providing content that's helpful to our listeners, and I'm just not sure if this is super helpful
I think it is, and I'll tell you why I think it is. I think that a lot of consumers haven't really considered the amount of fraud that goes along with government disbursements of emergency funds. And there's a huge amount there. At the same time, I mean, I'm going through this entire spectrum because we don't have much time to discuss that. But you've got criminals out there that. So let me ask you, what does a coronavirus test cost?
Oh gosh, I mean, I don't know, because we haven't really had very many tests available in the U.S. So
now, and some I'm people say it's free,
my insurance, right?
But you can go to a private facility and get it tested. So what happens when one of these senior citizens out there receives a call from the CDC that says, hey, testing is now mandatory. It just came down from Washington. We need to have you tested. No, we don't want you to come in because this disease is horribly contagious. However, we found out that you've been in contact with someone who did test positive recently.
Oh, geez.
We need you to test. We will send you this test. The test costs $99.99. We just need your credit card information.
Oh my gosh. Yep. That's
effective.
That's one. And I know there's emails doing the same thing, you know, with links to malware or whatever else it is. Yeah.
You get the email that says we're from the CDC. You know, we're making sure that the census is correct, but also with the census, we're cataloging the demographics of all the areas that are hit hard with coronavirus. We need you to fill out this form to let us know where you are, to let us know your contacts, to make sure you're safe as well. And it asks for your personal information.
Hmm. Right.
It's pretty
right.
effective too.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah.
And you're not, and that's the thing. You're not going to stop that fraud.
Right.
You know?
But I mean, we can educate people and sure try. I mean, because you tell 5 people, like it can, right. You know, but I know that I'm never going to think that we can completely eradicate all fraud just by talking about it for an hour a week on a podcast. That's not me. But I do think that it's important to at least be talking about them so that
if we don't talk
about them, then they're going to keep going rampant. You know, the other issues are obviously like with any kind of, any kind of tragedy, whether it's natural tragedy or, you know, mass shooting or all the things, they're obviously going to have the people coming out of the woodwork trying to collect money and asking for donations. So obviously, please, please, please double, triple check the organizations that you're choosing to donate to. There was a local Seattle charity that literally just popped up 2 weeks ago that I did donate to via GoFundMe, but I had like verified them to the T and also know somebody that, that was the person that's in it. Like, I'm kind of ridiculous about it.
But see, I was about to say something before you said GoFundMe. I was like, I was about to say, and whatever you do, do not give any GoFundMe campaign.
Well, I've worked with the GoFundMe team on the fraud side. I know that they do a good job at, you know, making sure. I know that it's not the best job, but it's
true.
A very challenging thing to do. I know. But and actually, the person who I used to know, or I still know them, but the person that was in charge of fraud there is no longer. And so I don't know who's there now. So I, you know, certainly not trying to pick on anyone, but you know, with any of those platforms, it's really challenging, you know, when you're trying to help people. I know that the huge challenge they have is that they don't have people that come back. You know, they don't have returning customers because a lot of times people are only coming to donate to one thing.
Right.
And so they're very used to just seeing lots and lots of new people.
I agree, but GoFundMe is a nice platform for laundering money. It's a nice platform for scamming people. Certainly there are some legitimate things on GoFundMe. I would say a majority of them are legitimate, but I would also caution people that if you're going to give to a charity, give to a charity that is verified, that you know that you can track, that you can,
right,
that you can trust.
Right. Yeah.
Don't
in
get
this
one
case,
of these fly-by-night stories that pops up there saying, oh, my child has coronavirus and it's about to die.
Yeah.
No.
Right. No. This was an organization that was started by two women in Seattle who just wanted to help feed people, and it blew up really fast and went national. And now other areas are, you know, asking to be able to use their forms and stuff like that. So it was a very quickly formed charity, but it was one that I was able to very much verify.
So how much are the women making from it? Do we know?
You mean how much are they pocketing?
Yeah.
You have no faith in humanity, I swear.
I'm just asking a simple question.
We
know that most of these charities that, you know, let's be honest, most charities, even the big ones, they pay their CEOs and everything a boatload of money.
No, absolutely. I know that. And I do look those up. You know, honestly, I feel like with these kinds of things, for me personally, I do the best I can to vet it. And then I just tell myself that, you know, what matters most is my intentions. I also didn't give that much. I think it was like $50. So
I like what you said.
Trial.
You have no faith in humanity. Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
I mean, I get it. I really get it. Anyone in this industry, I mean, I think we struggle with our own faith in humanity a few times in our lives or a few times a day when we're looking at stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's important for people to be aware and be cautious about the things that, you know, are coming into your email, the things. I think another really big thing to talk about, just at least lightly, is everybody's working from home. Not everyone can work from home, and that's a whole other thing, but worldwide people are working from home. I mean, I've definitely given it some thought, and I'm almost positive that lots of cyber criminals have too, but this is the best time to try to, you know, gain access to various companies' databases and
Absolutely. All those things.
I mean, it's really, really important not to click on any links. Like this morning, I got an email into my work email from somebody who I worked with a couple of years ago. They referred somebody to me from my consultancy to help them. I'm still in their contact list, but we haven't talked in a long time. And they work for a merchant processor, and the headline was like FYI credit information or something like that. And then it was an HTML email and it looked super shady. And so I, you know, deleted it quickly and I messaged them on LinkedIn and was like, hey, I think your email may have been compromised. If it's not, why the hell are you sending me credit information for people? But, you know, at the same time, it's like, what's happening here? So anyway, I think, you know, we need to be super, super diligent about that right now. I think that's something that everyone needs to be concerned about.
Well, we do. And, you know, now we're finding out it's not like we didn't know before. Anyway, well, a lot of people didn't know before. But the people who were somewhat aware understood that services like Zoom and all these other services, and we're using Zoom to record this today.
Yeah.
But all these services, they're not secure. I'm sorry, they're not. So you're conducting whatever type of company business that you're conducting using services that are not horribly secure to begin with. A lot of people think that you can use the Tor browser and that'll work. No, you're not. You're not. You're not. Just stop that thought process already. My advice is to make sure that you are as secure as possible. Make sure that no one else is visiting your little Zoom rooms, that you've got the encrypted login or the special pass clicked on that so that you can log in immediately and be secure like that. Be careful out there. It's more than anything. And, you know, to me, it boils down to the types of frauds and scams that we're going to see with this. It boils down to taking the time to verify, taking the time to make sure that those emails that you're getting, those phone calls that you're getting, those people who are trying to order, certainly if you're a merchant, you don't have a lot of time to manually review a lot of stuff, but you need to be verifying as much as possible every single thing that's coming through.
Right. Absolutely. Like that's something that I mean, it's always true, but especially now, I think, you know, it's super important for that. And then also, you know, there's just have a sense of caution when you're receiving emails, phone calls. I mean, we say that all the time, but like more than ever now. And I think that because so much anxiety is heightened and there's so many unknowns, it's very easy to, you know, get a phone call and think that it's true and not have that filter because you're just, you know, on high alert. Additionally, it's companies being aware, even down to like, oh, I know. So I wanted to get back to you just for a few minutes. So merchants, you know, I obviously talked about, you know, anything that people can do from home or that makes things easier. Those guys are slammed and very busy. The other thing is, and this is something I'm concerned about, is an increase in what we call friendly fraud. And that is consumers who claim they didn't receive a package, who claim that their credit card was stolen when it wasn't. They're taking advantage of the chargeback system. We've talked about it in the past. This is something that whenever there's a financial crisis, I mean, I was in this line of work during the last recession. And we definitely, that was when we actually saw this kind of activity even be created. That was when we all got in a room and were like, what do we call this thing? I prefer to call it first party fraud, but essentially it's just, you know, people who use their own credit card and then claim, contact their bank to get their money back through the banking system. A lot of consumers don't realize that if you made a purchase online, the entity that's actually paying you back is the merchant, and that severely impacts business. I'm worried that as this goes on over time, that especially physical goods merchants with higher dollar value are going to see more of these things. People having buyer's remorse, and instead of returning the items, they're just going to call their bank to get their money back. And that's something that's going to, I mean, it's a $22 billion problem a year. It's just going to get worse.
I agree.
Gosh, I feel like we're Debbie Downers today. Jeez.
It's not Debbie Downer. We're just, you know, the problem is that we're in a time that things are serious. And we've laughed some today. We've joked a bit, but shit's serious right now.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, business is hit. Every business is hit right now. The stock market is down roughly 30%. People are going to, their retirement accounts are going nowhere except down. Jobs are ending. They're not able to pay their bills. 70% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in the bank.
Oh my
so
gosh.
When you're out of work for 8 weeks, what the hell happens? Well, you start losing cars, homes, everything else after a while. So things are serious. And when things are serious like this, not only do cyber criminals criminals overall, fraudsters come out of the woodwork to take advantage of that and to steal, but also citizens, upstanding, honest people, when faced with pressure, they may be tempted to do something that they usually wouldn't do. And that may be friendly fraud. We know that friendly fraud, a lot of the times the people, they place the order with the intent of committing friendly fraud to begin with. sometimes it's not like that, but I would caution people. I mean, don't go down that path of saying, well, I can get this free pair of Nike by saying it never showed up, or I can get this new camera by saying it never showed up, or that it was faulty, or the merchant just didn't advertise it properly, so I can get some concert tickets. It's when you start going down that path, you cross a bridge that it's hard to remain a good person at that point. I mean, you think it's just that one issue, but it's not, because when you do it once, it becomes easier the next time. And then it continues on and on until it becomes a habit. And that habit over a set amount of time becomes your behavior. And that becomes who you are after a while. All right. Mm-hmm. So I would please caution people to really consider engaging in friendly fraud. And for the cyber criminals and the fraudsters are out there, and I know some of you guys listen to this show because you got this cyber criminal that used to be the crook. Now is not the time. Now is not the time to take advantage of people. It's not. Now is the time that people need to pull together on stuff. You got more than enough time to try to take advantage of people later. And I don't want you to do it, but now, by God, is certainly not the time to do that. We need to be pulling together and assisting and making the world a better place right now, not a worse place.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying that. You know, it's a slippery slope. I've definitely seen it from, you know, the data perspective of people who, you know, it might just be, oh, I'm going to see if this works. And then it's a continual pattern. And the card brands have put some things in place for people who are chronic chargeback people, you know, people, the consumers who file lots of chargebacks. But I was working with the card brands several years ago in a different, you know, in a professional capacity on something like this, saying, hey, there are people that are abusing the system. And why are you not limiting their access to using their cards? And so they did some data, and they did put one of the card brands, at least, put a cap on it, so that, you know, consumers who issue more than X number of chargebacks a year are no longer, you know, able to file any more chargebacks. They can use their card to make purchases, but they're just told, nope, you can't do it. However, they took the average. So in setting a limit, they took the average of how many chargebacks a consumer filed that, you know, most likely wasn't true fraud. And do you have any idea? You put me on the spot, so I'm going to put you on the spot. You have any idea what that average was?
a number or percent?
A number. So how many, chargebacks do they let you make per card?
Oh, geez,
so
Chris,
assuming you have five credit cards, you could do this
last
five
year,
times.
I know that last year on my wills, and I didn't do friendly fraud, but I was big on chargebacks. Last year on my wills, I probably did 25 or 30 chargebacks.
But those were like things, I mean, those were justified.
I mean, they were justified chargebacks.
right.
All right.
Right. I want to just make sure before you had all these merchants like looking up their database to see if you filed a chargeback.
What the hell
site.
Did you charge back?
Yep.
All right.
Because I know about some of the stories. So
well, like just, one yeah. of them was one of the chargebacks was a damn Iron Maiden concert. I bought the tickets, and I won't tell the ticket provider I bought it off of, but I bought the ticket and gave an ass load of money for it. And I get there, and it was literally behind a podium, this big concrete wall where you couldn't see the stage. And I had bought the ticket that said that the seat that I had picked had said clear access to the stage, everything else. Right. And so I called the ticket company, and they were like, oh, no, we set it on site. And I was like, no, you didn't say it on site, but I got a cure for you. So I contacted the bank, told them, and did the chargeback. And that's typically what I do. Is if it's justified, yeah, I'll do it. I'll contact the merchant first. If I get flack on that, I'm calling the bank. We can go from there.
So the limit that one of the card brands, and granted, they're the only one I know of that's set a limit on chargebacks, number of chargebacks, is 45 a year.
45. Good
yes.
Lord.
Yes. Good and Lord. That is not per merchant. That's across all CMP merchants, but still. That's a lot of purchases. Especially if they're big dollar. I mean, it's really...
That's 45 Canon cameras.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$1,300, $1,500 a camera. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I mean, we still have a long way to go on that. But so that's why we can't, you know, merchants at least cannot rely on any other entity to enforce it. They need to do it themselves. The one other thing I would say to consumers is there are merchants that are cracking down. So if they can prove that you used your credit card and you claim fraud, they have every right in the world to say, we choose not to, you know, to basically deny service to you next time.
Right. So let me ask you this.
I've heard of people losing like their entire library of video games because they filed stupid chargebacks across, you know, video game companies. So
yeah, Nintendo is extremely good about that. If you buy a game and then claim it was fraud, Nintendo locks you out of your entire library.
Yep. So they're
very good about that.
So do the other platforms. I know PlayStation does it as well. And I believe Xbox does.
I was wanted to ask this because this is my opinion. So they've got a limit of 45 chargebacks. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it make more sense that instead of just doing a blanket 45, that you're looking at the types of chargebacks that it is? If you're buying 45 MacBook Pros, you know, maybe that should stop after 8 of them.
But the card brand and the credit card company don't know what you actually purchased.
So they're not sharing the information, so you can't go that route.
Well, right. They would love that information, and they are trying to push some technology solutions for the purpose of fraud prevention that would provide that data to them more clearly. But that is, currently it's not something that they all have. So they, you know, for instance, if I were to make a purchase on Amazon for $200, they'd have no idea what I purchased for $200. They just know that I spent $200.
So once again, we see the need of sharing information and what happens when you don't.
Yes. The caveat to that, however, is that in these cases, sharing that type of data with issuing banks and credit card companies, really, they're probably going to use it more for evil than good. And evil in the sense, I mean, maybe evil isn't the right word. Evil isn't the right word before anyone sends me a mad email, but they will be using it primarily for understanding their consumers' spending habits so they can keep increasing their spending habits and providing them with deals for those things. It'll be less about fraud prevention. I am probably one of the biggest proponents in fraud prevention for collaboration and sharing data, but that is one area where I'm like, let's make sure that we're, you know, sharing the data for the right reasons, and that it's not being, you know, sold to retailers and or, you know, marketers or anything else, unless your card truly was compromised and like you can prove it. There's various ways that you can prove it, then those are not going to count against you, but it's the ones that are done,
right.
You know, for your own benefit. But 45 is still a lot, and that's a lot of online companies. Yeah. It's frustrating. I mean, I put a lot of time and effort into, you know, trying to put meetings together with the biggest retailers in the world to, you know, really advocate for this. And then that was what came back and we were like, what? But then they said, well, there were a lot of people that had over 200 per card. And I'm like, well then, and you had to wait to create a formal limit to stop that.
Yeah, exactly.
Those credit card companies don't want to cancel their person's card because they still want the interest and the money, et cetera. And there's just not humans looking at it, right? So it's all data and machine learning. So that's the other piece.
And that shows the flaw again with some of the AI and ML stuff and everything else.
Right. I mean, yeah. So once again, you know, I hope that this episode was still helpful to people. I'm not 100% sure it is, but I hope so.
I got to tell you, the way I'm feeling about this episode, I honestly think it's one of the better episodes we've done. I really do. I mean, you're Debbie Downer over there and I'm gloom and doom Brady, but you know what? Every now and then that brings some sobriety to people.
Yeah, but the problem is there's that kind of sobriety on any channel you turn to right now. And I think I was hoping that we would provide a little bit of shelter from that storm. But
You know, maybe next week.
Oh, boy.
Well, let me ask you this, because we are now running short on time. Everyone has heard my little thing for the day of just verify, for God's sakes, verify. What would you like to add on before we close out?
Obviously have a little bit of skepticism, but also a little bit of, you know, skepticism with emails, with calls, with, you know, orders, et cetera, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, merchant or consumer, or, you know, service provider as well. I think for me, it's just, it's been really important, and it's meant my sanity. The one day I didn't do it, I was the one day that I kind of had an anxiety freak out. But really focusing on the good, I think we have to. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. I think we're all kind of coming to terms with that, that this is going to be a long time. You know, this is going to be a new reality for a little while. So think of, you know, how you can help others, how you can reduce your impact on things, but also really what you can do to help not perpetrate fraud, whether you are a merchant or a vendor or a consumer. How can you stop it? Can you share some of these facts with, you know, people that you know? Can you, because you know what? Coronavirus isn't the only thing that impacts the elderly. Cybercrime is too. And, you know, the elderly are their number one targets in both of those. So maybe that should be an episode title, right? Like, what do coronavirus and online fraud have in common, or something like that. But, yeah. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, we just all need to be watching out for each other and watching out for ourselves as well, whether that's with credit card fraud, whether that's with cybercrime in general, or whether that's just with making sure that we're not taking 46 rolls of toilet paper when there's somebody else with six kids who doesn't have any.
I've got 135 rolls right now.
That's a bit much.
Well, I just want people to know, got 135 rolls. My wife's got 700 rounds of ammunition. We ain't giving up no TP.
I was just going to say, maybe you could be inspired by this and like drop a roll of toilet paper on each one of your neighbor's doorsteps with a little bow on it.
You know, actually they know that I've spoken with several neighbors and they know that if they need anything at all, they just let me know.
I believe that.
Well stocked. So
I believe that. Because I know that you're nicer than you try to let on.
That's true. That's true. That doesn't mean though, if somebody tries to break in the house that they won't be planted in the front yard. They will. But I try to help out everyone that we can.
Yeah, I feel like that was, you know. Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty counterintuitive there, that statement. we'll help people if we can, but if you show up at my house, no, I know what you mean. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. Hey, I guess we better close it out, huh?
Yes, I think so. But I will say one question. If anyone really did feel like this was one of the best episodes or that you really liked this, please let me know, because I'm probably going to be saying, hey, we need to get the train back on the tracks next week. But if you like the train off the tracks, like, let me know, and we'll kind of see how that goes.
I feel like the little engine that could. I think I can. I think a chugga, chugga, chugga.
Well, I had actually a sales rep the other day for one of the vendors in the fraud space say something, and then he kind of lost his train of thought, and he goes, huh, my train of thought doesn't have a caboose.
That's
and
right.
I thought that was cute. I feel like that happens a lot to me as well. But we actually had a listener reach out to me 2 weeks ago. I haven't even told you about it yet because life has been crazy, but saying that they really enjoyed you reading some of the fraud news and wanted to hear us reading them, you know, with each other to hear the balanced.
Oh, hell yeah. Stuff.
I know. I thought you'd like that. So
I like that. You know, I like to call it the Cyber Suck News Report.
Oh, jeez. We will be coming up with a different name. But
all the news only a criminal would love.
That's a third podcast for you then. We're gonna keep having Brett making podcasts so that we can keep this one on the track.
You know, you say that, but I'm actually considering launching a live streaming podcast next year. That's it for our episode today. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you've learned a lot. You know, we've got so many more topics to cover to help protect you and your company from fraud. So please subscribe to the Online Fraudcast to be alerted to when a new episode is out. And please tell your friends, rate and review wherever you can to help others find out about us as well.
And we always love to hear from you, what you love so far about the podcast, how we can improve, and what topics you want to hear us discuss. You can always find Online Fraudcast on Facebook or find us individually on LinkedIn or also on our website, onlinefraudcast.com.
Until next time, stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay secure.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.